Thank you, everyone, and thank you for joining us this evening. Before we get started with our council agenda, I invite our district magistrate, Nick Engelson, up to swear in Dr. Wanda Lenidix as our seventh member of city council.
Okay.
We're going to hold it between us.
Okay.
You need to raise your right hand. Okay. Repeat after me, please. I, Wanda Lenidix.
I, Wanda Lenidix.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
And the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office.
As council member of the city of Bethlehem.
As councilwoman of the city of Bethlehem.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
Congratulations.
Before we get started, I'd like Dr. Lenidix to say a few words.
Thank you. Oh my goodness, what a momentous day. I just want to say it is an honor to sit in this seat. I stand on the shoulders of giants, men and women who come before me, and men and women who wanted to serve. And I stand on the shoulders, as I said, of giants. I thank all my supporters, the organizations. If I would go into all of them, I would miss some. And individuals who supported me, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I received so many calls, emails, texts, social media, which I'm not on, and even flowers. And I'm just so appreciative of everybody. And let me just say this about the 10 wonderful, intelligent, talented men and women who applied for this job. Thank you very much for supporting me, too. Our city has need of people for our boards, our authorities, commissions. Please serve on these. Finally, I would like to thank the administration. Thus far, you've helped me, you know, in talking with the different board members, heads of the departments. It's been very enlightening, and I have more people to see. So I really want to thank everybody. And we are the people who we've been waiting for. We are those people. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Lenidix, and welcome. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll for tonight.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith.
Present.
Dr. Lenidix.
Present.
Ms. Kreatek.
Present.
Ms. Leone.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
Present. So we have a couple citations tonight. One for an officer who I believe is here, Mr. Simon Bodie, and I'll read the citation from council. Whereas the residents of the city of Bethlehem have been served by a dedicated, diligent, and talented member of the Bethlehem Police Department for more than 22 years. And whereas Simon Bodie, who started with the police department in 1999 and retired in 2021, has during the course of his employment provided the utmost and reliable and outstanding service to the police department and the residents of the city of Bethlehem. Now therefore be it resolved by the city council of Bethlehem that Simon Bodie be extended the gratitude of the city of Bethlehem which has benefited from his more than two decades of service and the special contributions he made to promoting public safety and protecting the lives and property of Bethlehem residents. Be it further resolved, now that Simon is retired, he can relax and enjoy all that life has to offer him. And be it further resolved that Simon be extended every good wish for a long and satisfying retirement. Thank you. If Officer Bodie's here, I invite him up to grab the citation.
Sir, if you wanted to make comments, you have that opportunity. It's up to you.
Good, thank you very much.
You look sharp, though.
Thank you.
Officer, we have a...
Thank you very much
We have a second citation tonight for a recently retired officer not in attendance. Officer Keen Appenberger will make sure that that gets to the officer. Approval of minutes. There are none for this evening. So we're going to move forward to public comment, starting with any subject not being voted on this evening with a 5-minute time limit for respect to everybody's time this evening. This is a YouTube reminder for our YouTube audience at home. If you're starting this meeting after 7 p.m., please make sure to scroll ahead so that the YouTube stream is current rather than a recording of an earlier portion of the meeting. And then if you signed up to speak in person during first public comment, not being voted on tonight, I'll start inviting everyone to the lectern. We did not have anyone sign up in advance tonight for first public comment on anything not being voted on this evening. I'll go around the room, starting on the left-hand side. Is there anyone who would like to comment on anything not being voted on this evening? Mr. Rodriguez? Can I ask you to state your name and address for the record, please, Mr. Rodriguez?
Eddie Rodriguez, 701 Main Street, apartment 805, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Usually I come in here with comments about drugs and gangs and all that, but tonight I come here with a notification on my part so that this will be open to all members of my community, and especially those of now taking care of my lady, Catherine Weiss, at Greystone Nursing Home. I was accused of being a burden financially towards Catherine Weiss. That is not so. I did the best that I could for her. We've been together for 9 years to this very day. I love her dearly. But she was taken away from me under false accusations. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because the financial burden was that of her children. Andrew Weiss, who abused her financially with $30,000 to $35,000 taken out of her account when it was National Penn Bank. Now it's BB&T. Her daughter found, Michelle Weiss, found a way of making way, being that her son, Andrew, did that with the money, and he got away with it. Then she went and asked Catherine for $5,000. She was afraid that more money will be taken out of her account, and she asked me, being that we were going out together for a long period of time then, that I become a power of attorney. I did. The problem with this is that I miss her a lot. And we should be together. But because of the circumstances which are occurring now, That's not going to happen. Because the guardian, Mr. Newton, Henry Newton, and the judge misjudged whatever happened after she had the heart attack. And that's the sad thing about it. The judge misjudged Judge Barada, according to Graysdale's accusations on me, because they didn't like who I was and what I represented. So being that he's so used to using them and being associated with them, then everything went against me. Same thing happened in doctor's offices. It's a story of my lifetime. But I still hang on for her sake. She has dementia now. I knew then that she was suffering from some type of ailment, and ailments, I should say, then, as I know it now. Her daughter has abused her. If it wasn't for me physically, if it wasn't for me being there, she would have done so and hurt her. She knuckled her in the back, she told me, at Graysdale. I reported it, and still this very day, she's the one that's been chosen to visit and take her out of Graysdale with all that's happened. She shouldn't be allowed at all. Not because of what happened with us, but because of the abuse that she's going to suffer behind this lady. She drinks excessively on drugs, and her son, Andrew, because of me, has now got a job. And I put him in a treatment program because he had problems with alcoholism. But she does. She drinks excessive shot glasses. Oh my God, you wouldn't even believe. But to this very day, she still does so. And I worry about Catherine because this is something that is going to get worse before it gets better. And I just wish that somebody like what I mentioned to Mr. Cologne and Dr. Van Wert, but I understand her position. Take a hold of this and take it to the proper authority, because there are records with National Penn Bank where I put that money in that bank and I returned the $1,900 to Mr. Newton upon his request, being that he found out that I had it. I was true blue and I was trusted by this guardian. But he lost track of where he was. He disrespected me highly. And he still does so to this very day. So I leave it at that. And I wish somebody just don't forget about what I just said tonight. I wish I could help her. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rodriguez. And if you'd like, you and I could talk more after the meeting.
Thank you, sir.
I will continue on the left side of the room for anyone who'd like to speak on anything not being voted on this evening. Anyone else who'd like to make comment? Move over to the middle of the room. Anyone in the center section who'd like to make comment on anything not being voted on this evening? Mr. Antal?
Stephen Antalix. 77 Ridge. If you drove in the city on Main Street, across the river, and drove on 3rd Street during the holidays, you got the sense you were in two different communities. And in a sense, you were. Because the lighting on Main Street, the white lights, and on 3rd Street, the colored lights, were reminiscent of a bygone era, over almost 100 years ago, where the white lights on the north of the river represented the exclusive marine community, while the colored lights on the south side represent the multi-ethnic immigrants from Europe. So the lights will take you back to that period when they were boroughs, the borough of Bethlehem and the borough of South Bethlehem, and they were mutually antagonistic. They didn't trust one another, and they spoke in very negative terms of one another, with the Bethlehem borough calling the people of the South Bethlehem borough the scum of Europe. That term was used in a paper. In 1937, a Jew whose background was a Sephardic Jew was the Spanish Inquisition, so he knew discrimination. And as president of the city council, along with Mrs. E.G. Grace, who was Miss Borheck, decided to use Christmas as a vehicle, not to celebrate the holiday, but to try and create unity between both sides of the river because the animosity carried over beyond the forming of the city of Bethlehem. So they devised a unified system of lights where the north and south had the same lights to show one city and a unified city. And that's been lost. Because what happened this past season, it harks back to those horrid days of the borough mentality. There's been a study by the city to look at the Christmas lights. Whether the present scheme reflects that, I don't know, but nothing's happened publicly about the lighting system. So if council has any ability or power to do anything about that, I suggest that you press that the lighting at the holiday time be uniform to show unity of the city of Bethlehem on both sides of the river. But I'm going to diverge now. I do not wish to embarrass anybody, but I have to direct my question to, if I can find a page, to Dr. Enix and ask her, does she remember what she was doing on Friday, November 15th, 1974? Do you remember? Well, I know where you were. Would you like to know where you were? Okay. You were at a dinner along with a gentleman named Mr. Enix, Ernest Enix. And you were the music programmer and directress of the program for the 4th Annual Freedom Fund Banquet of the NAACP. Remember that? Well, anyway, you now know where you were. Being a compulsive antiquarian bookstore person, I couldn't help but keep this, so I'd like to give it to you as a remembrance.
Thank you very much.
I won't even tell you what it paid for.
Oh, that's so nice.
And that's the end of my comment.
Thank you, Mr. Attal. Is there anyone else in the center this evening who would like to comment on anything that we are not voting on? I'll continue on. Anyone on the right side? Ms. Negro.
Olga Negron, I'm still at Lucerne Street. I'm sure you can find me. I am honored to be here. I could miss this night, and I'm so glad God gave me the opportunity because this is a big celebration. I want to say thank you to all of the members of council that voted for Dr. Enix. This is history. And to me, I mean, my heart is beating so hard right now. Because 6 years ago, I was sitting in there with six men sitting next to me. Mm-hmm. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Well, sometimes it was. But this is just, my heart is just bursting. I am very proud of what you did. And I'm looking forward for a brilliant, beautiful city. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from anyone else on the right side of the room? If there's no more comments. So, I announced the last couple meetings, we're turning it back to the phone lines, given that we still have the virtual opportunity. So I will briefly open the phone lines here for anyone who's following along at home. If anyone wants to call in to make comment to the City Council hotline, that phone number is 610-997-7963. Again, we're in the public comment portion of tonight. For anything not on the agenda, if anyone wanted to call in, 610-997-7963. Good thing we didn't hire a switchboard operator for this operation. So I'm going to continue on with tonight's agenda. There will be another opportunity to call in for the agenda item. So going around the room for the second public comment for any ordinances or resolutions to be voted on this evening. There were no names previously signed up. So again, I'll start on the left side of the room. Is there anyone who'd like to make comment towards council on anything to be voted on this evening? I will go over to the center. Is there anyone who wants to make comment on anything on tonight's agenda that we're voting on? Seeing none. Again, I'll go over to the right. Thank you, everybody. I'll turn it briefly to the phone lines again. If there is anyone patiently waiting to call in, that number remains 610-997-7963. Okay. We're going to conclude public comment and move on tonight. Moving on to old business. Any old business from members of council? So we're going to move on to communications. Communication 6A.
A memorandum from Police Chief Michelle Kopp with an attached resolution and agreement for the purchase of a duty weapon by a retired officer of the Bethlehem Police Department. Pursuant to the Third Class City Code, retired officers may purchase their duty firearms at fair market value.
And Resolution 10B is on the agenda tonight. Communication 6B.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract price adjustment for a contract with LB Industries, Inc. for services related to the settling tank improvement project. The date for final completion is July 15, 2022. The change orders in the aggregate total $177,931.
And Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
A memorandum from Sandra Steidel, Director of Purchasing, with an attached list of equipment that will be offered for sale in an online auction within the next 60 days.
So council has no objections to the property listed. The items may be added to the online auction. If council would like to discuss a specific item, the same shall be removed from the list and discussed at the next council meeting. Would any member of council like to remove any items from the list or item and discuss it at the next council meeting? If not, it will be communicated to the purchasing director that City Council has no objections to auctioning the listed property. All right, seeing no objections, we're going to move on. Reports. I have nothing to report at this time. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Chairman Colon. On behalf of the administration, we do want to congratulate Dr. Enix for being sworn in tonight and joining City Council. I know you've had an opportunity to come in over the past several days to meet with department heads, sit down with Mr. Evans and Mr. Sivak and others, and just, I would, as with every council member, the door is always open to call to come in to have conversations, because we're obviously here to answer any questions you may have going forward. But once again, congratulations. In conjunction with that, we had our Bethlehem Corner video that was launched today as far as your conversation with Ms. Santoro and myself. So that is out there, and we just want to obviously wish you and your family a big congratulations on the historic day. I'm going to turn to our Director of Community Economic Development, Laura Collins, to give a couple updates having to do with where we're at as far as pandemic recovery and affordable housing are concerned.
I'm very grateful for the opportunity to address Council tonight. Just to speak briefly about the work the Mayor's Office and the Department of Community and Economic Development is undertaking in a few of the administration's key priority areas, specifically pandemic recovery and affordable housing. The administration is very committed to focusing American Rescue Plan Act funds with care, great thought toward what is most needed in our community, and especially for those who have been most negatively impacted by the pandemic. So we're putting together a far-reaching community engagement plan that pulls from examples across the nation, best practices to make sure that when we are thinking about how we are directing and spending the funds that we've received from the federal government, that we are doing so with the needs of the community in mind, and that we are getting the very critical feedback and contribution from community members. So, to that end, we are engaging with a vendor who specializes in web-based public participation platforms. And we've seen a number of communities across the country who've used platforms like this, which have capabilities beyond what we've used in the city before. They are very much a 2022-type platform that gives us a lot of capabilities with respect to reaching people in different spaces who don't often or don't always get to contribute to conversations and provide feedback. So it's very important to us that community engagement is central to our planning for these ARPA funds. So as I said, we have engaged a vendor, and we're working internally with our IT department and mayor's office and other people who are going to be important in this process to get the platform up and running within the next few weeks, hopefully. And it will be supplementing, of course, our efforts, in person, meeting people where they are in neighborhoods, but doing everything that we can to make sure that we are prioritizing not only the ARPA funds and our programming, but also thinking more broadly about community development and community needs as we just prioritize all of our efforts moving forward. So we're very excited about that, and we are looking forward to launching the platform. In the meantime, of course, we are also moving forward with our ongoing efforts in a number of spaces that touch on community development and recovery from the pandemic, most notably affordable housing. To that end, last month, we put out a request for proposals for consulting services for a comprehensive housing strategy. And we received responses yesterday, and we've now mobilized our review committee. So, we recognize that there are a number of strategies and tools that can be used to address housing issues in the community. But our goal with the RFP and creating a comprehensive plan is to look at specifically the needs right now in Bethlehem, and also the local and the regional market, and have experts come in and really help us understand how we are best directing and spending our time and our resources, rather than taking a piecemeal approach to affordable housing, but and housing needs in general, but really working on a comprehensive solution that is thoughtful and deliberate. So we're very confident in taking the time to develop this plan, and we're looking forward to working with City Council as we put together our implementation committee and work with all of you who have been in this space for so long, and those in the community who have been on task force and have provided a lot of important and critical work in this space. So we are very much looking forward to that, and happy, of course, to always answer questions and take calls or meetings in City Hall. And it's been great so far, of course, getting to know all of you, and thanks so much for coming in and asking questions.
Thank you, Ms. Collins. And just to add on to that, I think one thing that we all know and we're trying to shift the conversation to is like the concepts and kind of the buckets of the areas where people want to invest in, everybody can agree on that. I do believe that. If you look around at cities and you look at the 8, 10, 12 things that people are looking to invest in as a community, as in a government, there's a lot of agreement. It comes down to what are the specific uses for your particular market and what are the areas where you're able to get the most bang for your buck. So as we're taking a look at this housing kind of strategies RFP, when we went through that housing cohort in the fall and we sat through for the 16 hours, one of the first things they tell you is that, there's 25, 30, 35 different things that a community can be doing. Direct rental assistance, facade, first-time home buyer assistance programs, adding supply, working with nonprofits, whatever it might be. But all of those strategies don't work for every single market. And a lot of them are dependent on what type of land you have available, what are the economics, what are the regional economics. So we are trying to focus on not just what kind of dollars are we putting somewhere, but how do we make those decisions about what are the priorities and what are the real areas where we're able to move and make progress and also measure that progress as far as the metrics are concerned. It's something that we're also working on as far as that platform is concerned. We have all been to different public events or participated and say, hey, I think broadband expansion is important, or hey, I think affordable housing is important, or hey, I think recreational opportunities are important. But trying to talk about what they actually are. Because if you spend $500,000 in one area or $500,000 in another area, sometimes that's the difference between doing 2 or 3 months of work and doing 6, 7, 8, 9 months of work. So we have all of these trains that are already started with all these different things that the city is already doing. One of the things our outreach plan is going to do is take a look at the communities, which are the ones that we want to focus on more than others. It's not like we're going to wait until this community engagement plan is finished and then say, now we're starting. We have started all of those different trains. The question is going to become, where are the areas that we want to be able to shift more dollars to? Because if you ask people, are these 10 things that we want to invest in, everyone's going to say yes. But the challenge is trying to decide what specific areas within those 10, how much time, how much staff time, that's going to really kind of be the measure of what we're doing. And the last thing I would say is one of the things that we are doing as well within the mayor's office with Angie and Janine and Laura is we're working on setting up relationships with institutions within our community, whether or not they be churches or youth organizations or schools. So it's not just how do we connect people with City Hall, but how do we connect people with the people that they trust in our community and that they trust in our institutions? Because what we're trying to do, as we've talked about before, is expand beyond the normal people that can email their city council person or walk into City Hall or call the mayor's office or whatever that might be. And we don't need to reinvent the wheel. One of the things City Hall needs to do is we just need to have better relationships with a lot of the institutions that can help to share this particular information. So that's an ongoing process that we're going. And our hope is sometime in the next 3 or 4 weeks to be able to do a public kind of launch event, as Ms. Collins had said, having to do with this particular platform, kind of talk about some of the things that we're looking at specifically with affordable housing in 2022, and also talk a little bit about, some of our work as far as expanding internet access. So that's our goal, to kind of do that sometime, in the first couple of weeks of March, and obviously we will let everybody know, and we'll be making a big deal about that. But that's kind of where we are at. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is that we have met internally with our consultant having to do with the climate action plan, and there will be a we'll be kind of doing a similar type of event maybe a week or so later in March, where we're going to kind of talk about how we're going to challenge those or tackle those priorities in the first year. Once again, obviously, and I'm several members of council are involved in that effort as well. So we look forward to working with council and the community on both of those things. That's our report. Thank you, Mr. Collins.
Thank you, Ms. Collins. Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Appreciate you giving us some insight as to what's going on. Of course, we'll be here every other Tuesday and always look forward to hearing where we're at, especially as some of these approaches come more into focus as we've been having these conversations dating back to when the city was awarded that money and trying to see, you know, take into consideration all those different variables and what's the best way. I think the goals are shared not only by the administration, just about everyone on council without speaking for members of council, but as discussions we've had, it's how do we actually spend those dollars? How do we implement these programs? So I appreciate the work that everyone's doing and bringing updates to council as you can. So thank you. Moving on to ordinances for final passage and new ordinances. There are none on the agenda for any ordinances. So we're going to continue on to resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, in accordance with the Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes the disposition of public records from the Community and Economic Development Department, as shown in the attached exhibit. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion on the resolution? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Kramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. The clerk will read Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement to effectuate the transfer of the city-issued handgun to Fabian Martinez, a retired city police officer. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Dr. Enix.
Discussion? I'll just say, Mr. Mayor, if you had a comment.
Just wanted to add, I know we had this conversation a couple weeks ago, and Chief Cott and I have been doing some research looking at different organizations and so on and so forth. We haven't necessarily picked one as far as where these funds would go or how we would necessarily spend those funds. My comments from last time remain the same, that if it's the will of council to sell this, that we will absolutely find a way to deliver those funds in a way that is represents anti-gun violence efforts. The chief has done a lot of research there, and we are still making a decision specifically where that is going to be. But obviously, as I said before, that those funds are going to stay there until we do that. And once we make that decision, we will obviously share it with city council as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Chief Cott, your efforts are appreciated as you take on that task of finding useful ways to spend those dollars that come in. And again, it's appreciated. And I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Kramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Nay.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-1. The clerk will read Resolution 10C.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute a contract price increase in connection with an existing agreement with LB Industries, Inc. for services related to the Settling Tank Improvement Project. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Dr. Enix.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Kramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. At this time, I will accept a motion and a second to consider resolutions 10D through 10F as a group and ask the clerk to call the roll on the motion.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Dr. Van Wert, second by Councilwoman Kramsey-Smith.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Kramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. So the motion passes 7-0. The clerk will read the resolutions. And any discussion on the resolution? I'll ask the clerk to read the resolution.
Certificates of appropriateness under the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance are hereby granted for 77 West Broad Street to install two projecting signs, 239 East Church Street to remove asphalt shingles, reinstall ice breaks, and replace existing shingles, 241 East Church Street to remove asphalt shingles, reinstall ice breaks, and replace existing shingles. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion on these? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Resolution's passed 7-0. Can I ask the clerk to call or to read Resolution 10G?
Certificate of appropriateness under the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 305 East 3rd Street to construct a new five-story mixed-use building with commercial and residential units. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Dr. Enix.
Before I turn to members of council for discussion, I'm going to turn to our council solicitor, Mr. Pinella. So these, we're going to get into the certificates of appropriateness that had been postponed about 4 weeks ago here, and one of the things that came up on the floor of council at that time was council was without a solicitor, as that was the night we appointed Mr. Pinella. So I'm just going to ask Mr. Pinella to give brief background as to the legislation that allows for these COAs and what exactly we're voting on.
So to start at the state legislature level, the state legislature passed an act that provides, and I'm going to truncate this a little bit. I don't want to bore everybody with all the legalese, but it sums up to, for the purpose of protecting those historic areas within our great commonwealth, which have a distinctive character, recalling the rich architecture and historical heritage of Pennsylvania, cities are hereby authorized to establish by ordinance a historic district or districts within the geographical limits of such political subdivision. That's the section that specifically allows Bethlehem to establish the historic district. And that's where the COAs, the Certificate of Appropriateness, come from. When you go on here, the state legislature then also provided any governing body in determining whether or not to certify to the appropriateness of the building of a proposed structure, the governing body shall consider the general design, arrangement, texture, material, and color of the building or structure only, and the relation of such factors to similar features of buildings and structures in the district. Now, as was also read by our clerk, it's not just provided at the state level, but by our Bethlehem City Ordinance as well. That's Ordinance 1714 for anybody that's interested. It's available freely on the Bethlehem website for anybody to be able to access. And when you look at subsection 1714.03, it specifically provides for our section's purpose, which reads in part, it is the purpose and intent of the City of Bethlehem to promote, protect, enhance, and preserve historic resources and traditional community character. When you look at the legislative history and when you look at the real spirit of what's being discussed here, is to ensure that we don't, especially in our ordinance, it makes reference to you don't want a skyscraper in the middle of a residential neighborhood. In the same way that you don't want someone putting a single family home in an area where there might be gigantic buildings everywhere. It's in the spirit of keeping our historic towns, our historic cities, such as Bethlehem. It's no secret that our community, we're Christmas City, USA. We are a beautiful residence. We are a beautiful area. And the whole idea behind Certificate of Appropriateness is talking about whether or not the visual features of the building being proposed would match the spirit of the neighborhood, the historic district, and if we get so far into it, even the street that the building's being built on. So that's a bit of the legislative history when you look into this, and I wanted to pull out some of the specific provisions of our state legislature and our own ordinance itself.
Thank you, Mr. Patel. So before I turn to members of council, as I alluded to, this is something that had been brought to tonight's meeting from a couple meetings ago, and we have a few certificates of appropriateness here. And one of the things, too, that I had discussed then as a carryover from previous council as it relates to some of these projects, East 3rd Street, what the current COA that's in front of us, the following one, South New Street, and then East 4th Street will be coming up. These are things I'll be supporting tonight as I had previously when these are new COAs that had come forward from previous HCC meetings. and also as our HCC, a group of volunteers that review these applications. All three of these COAs come before us, unanimously supported by the HCC. I think there are, and we can have further discussion not only tonight moving forward, a lot of discussions to be had surrounding other aspects of any project that comes before council, whether it's as it relates to the COA, or I'm sure we'll talk more about some of the other things that have been discussed within council. But as I had supported the previous COAs for the parcels in question tonight, I will also be supporting the COAs which had the unanimous support of the HCC. So I will open it up to discussion from other members of council or comments. Right now we are on 10G, which is the 305 East 3rd Street COA. Any discussion or comments from other members of council? Dr. Van Wert?
I'll start, and I'm going to actually address each one of these specifically. So I just wanted to talk about this one project. I had initially had some consternation over approving this because if you go through the minutes from the January 5th HCC meeting, there was a request made to the developer to set back the fifth floor. And particularly, it was because the surrounding buildings are much lower than this building at five stories, and the HCC wanted to mitigate the visual impact to the pedestrian on the street and the surrounding buildings of this very tall building that is going to be much taller than the surrounding buildings. A setback is when the top floor is pushed back, kind of like a wedding cake, a tier, and it allows more sunlight and less of an impact of the mass of the building, especially for the pedestrian on the street. And I felt that I wanted to understand how that accommodation could be made going further with this project. However, over the month that we were given, and I'm glad we were given that much time to really do the research that we needed to understand this very nuanced development process, it really came down to the fact that the horse is already out of the barn here, and this height was approved, and these accommodations were made, and all in all, it is bigger and taller than its surrounding neighbors, but it's also a pretty good project. And the developer did make a lot of other accommodations to design features to make this seem more like a part of a row rather than one big flat apartment building. So, you know, if you really want to balance development in terms of this building itself, it would seem that you don't want the perfect to get in the way of pretty good. So I will be supporting this tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Any other comments from other members of council?
Mr. Klon?
Mayor Ryan?
I just wanted to add, I should add it before, that Ms. Heller is here tonight, as is Ms. Collins and Mr. Deschler and Mr. Spurk. I had asked them to come today, Ms. Heller, to answer any questions about what had come up at the HCC meetings, if anybody had any questions for Ms. Heller about any of the discussions about any of these three projects. Ms. Collins obviously can talk about some of the development process, things that are handled under the purview of HCC certificates, which are not, as can Mr. Deschler and Mr. Spurk, if there are any questions from any member of council, but they're here ready and well-versed on the different projects, if there's any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds, and thank you everyone in the administration who came out tonight. That being said, any questions, comments as it relates to 305 East 3rd Street from other members of council? Ms. Leon?
I also had similar concerns as Councilwoman Van Ritt had. I'm very concerned about height. Okay. I was very concerned about the height and would have liked to see the setback there as well, considering its location to across the street where there was some very small mom and pop businesses. I'm worried about how that would affect their business going forward, but I kind of reached the same conclusion where this is already gone and this COA is specific to that. So although I'm hesitant in supporting this, I support it as well.
Understood. Thank you, Ms. Leon. Any other, Ms. Wilhelm?
I wanted to echo what Dr. Van Wert said with regard to this particular project. And my feeling about this developer and this project is that things are being learned with every development, and I do feel that some of those things have been implemented. Some of that learning has been implemented in this project. In particular, I was happy to see a reasonably sized retail space and plans to fill it. which will negate the possibility of an empty storefront, which is something we don't want lined up our streets. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wilhelm. Any other questions? Councilwoman Cramsey Smith?
I will concur with my fellow councilwoman also. While I had some concerns, I was happy to see, and I'm grateful to the developers because they did come back and make accommodations for the ACC, and I really appreciate that. I think that's part of what we need in smart development in this community, so I will be supporting this development.
Thank you. Any other comments from members of council? Dr. Ames?
I just have a brief comment. I'm still not convinced of the historical nature of preservation. It's invasive in a sense, so I'm very hesitant about this.
Understood. Thank you, Dr. Ames. Any other comments, questions from members of council? Seeing none, I will ask the clerk to call the roll on the COA.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Nay.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. COA passes 6-1. The clerk will read Resolution 10-8.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 317-327 South New Street to demolish certain structures and construct a new 9-story mixed-use building with commercial and residential units. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Dr. Enix.
Discussion? Dr. Van Wert.
This is a really good project, and I was going to vote to approve it no matter what, but I was worried about the comment that the HCC really wanted the developer to readdress the way the back of this building talks to the Greenway. Oh, I'm sorry, which one are we on?
We're on New Street.
Sorry, my bad.
We'll still be here on the next agenda. We'll still be here.
Thank you. So I'll go ahead and talk about New Street then. So New Street is much more of the problematic building amongst the three of them. And I think most people are pretty aware of the issues surrounding it. And I just wanted to kind of reflect a little bit on what's happening in South Bethlehem. Back in the 70s, there was a mayor of Bethlehem who was known as the Main Street Mayor. And the reason he was known as this, Mayor Mower, before my time, but still worth knowing. And he opposed the enormous economic and social forces of development that were asking him to tear down our buildings on Main Street. And they didn't look the way they look now. Some of them were pretty gritty. And back then, urban renewal was the thing. Every city was doing it, and there was a lot of development forces that were pushing for this to happen in our very own downtown. And he pretty much single-handedly, from what I was able to read over the last few days about this, really stopped that from happening. And instead, he said, we're going to save it, and we're going to invest in it. And he took hundreds of thousands of dollars that were from the city and privately raised and from companies, and he invested in our Main Street. He put in slate sidewalks and benches and the beautiful lights, and he really did all that in order to make the small businesses of Bethlehem invest in their buildings. And we have this today because of that tenacity. And I really admire, and I think we all thank him for having that vision and that strength of character to see what could happen if we honor our own history. And so I think a lot of what we're seeing right now in South Bethlehem is a true mirror of exactly that situation. It may not all, some of these buildings may not look lovely. Some of these lots are underutilized and should have development on them. But at the same time, our mandate is to preserve the character of the historic district. And indeed, this ordinance that our solicitor referenced in exactly gives city council the right to vote no on a certificate of appropriateness, regardless of what HCC says. And so when I was thinking about this, I really wanted to understand what was city council's power here, because I think that the the size of this building is very problematic. It's not the same as the contributing historic buildings in the area. It casts shadow on the Greenway, we think, but we don't know because we don't have any data that tells us what that could be. And I really had enormous problems with it. So I said, well, I think we have to, since the height has already been approved, we have to stick to what was discussed in the HCC meeting. In the HCC meeting specifically, they had asked him to set back the top two floors. This was not done because of a lack of square footage. And again, the setback would be the same thing as we were talking about before on the 3rd Street building, that it gives a different experience for the pedestrians on the street. It makes 3rd Street less of a canyon, and it can stop some of the shadow that would fall on our Greenway. So I spent a lot of time thinking about it, and the threat of lawsuit is real here, and it's a matter of really trying to decide whether or not going forward with this and risking a lawsuit and distracting us from the very real and good work that we can do in the long run here is worth it or not. Some of the things I just wanted to address in terms of the development on the south side is the south side is the way it is because of Bethlehem Steel. And one of the gems of the south side is our Greenway. It's 4.7 miles long. It runs east to west. And therefore, it is at particular risk because any of the buildings that are built south of it go up and cast shade on the Greenway. And right now, we do not ask anybody who's building buildings there to come up with studies to tell us how much shadow is going to be cast. In the wintertime, very long shadows. In the summertime, very short shadows. We need to have much more data before we continue, whether it's this is a historic district or this is anywhere in Bethlehem, that we need to have more data to understand the impact of these buildings. And I think that we should be, as council, considering how do we address going forward the development pressures that are being put on Bethlehem because we have a 150-foot zoning ordinance and we have an HCC that is mandated to only approve things that are contextually appropriate and only approve a four-story building if the buildings around it are three stories. So I think what I'm trying to say is this council is struggling a lot with the already approved buildings that are being built in South Bethlehem, and we ask ourselves how can we, and I'm just speaking for me right now, how can we make this better? How can we take what has already been done and make it better? And it's very difficult once the approval's already been done. I do feel that City Council has the ability to say no to this COA, but I don't feel that a lawsuit and the distraction that it may cause in terms of this council and the enormously important work we have to do going forward would be worth it at this point. So with total reluctance, I would say, though, I'm going to be supporting this so we can focus more on what we can really do and make an impact on going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Any other questions or comments from members of council? Ms. Puita.
I want to very much co-sign what Dr. Van Wert just said. I've certainly been going through the same struggles this week, last week, the last 4 weeks, I guess, since, you know, reviewing this and understanding what our power is here, and recognizing that we are a very different, differently composed council than previous councils. Votes happen. It's water under the bridge, and so I want to say that what's past is past, but it doesn't have to be prologue. And so while my vote will be yes tonight, it is not a portent of the future. So thank you for what you said, Dr. Van Wert, and putting it better than I probably could have, because my brain is still very jumbled on these issues, but yes.
Thank you, Ms. Kwiatek. Councilwoman Cramsey-Smith.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Van Wert, for so eloquently stating what I feel and putting the situation out there, I think, in a clear manner. I feel the same. I really regret, this will be one vote that I really regret, but I am concerned. You know, the HCC did recommend the setbacks, and they did not do that. I don't understand why, and I value the HCC, and I want them to know that I support them and will will stand for whatever they decide, but I hope that they realize, you know, and know that they can, you know, deny these if the developers do not do what they recommend to do or really feels important to do. I have real concerns about this development in general, many concerns. I think it's all about location. If you go to buy a house, the first thing they say is location, location, location. You have to be pretty much living in a cave to not realize that Third Street is a mess. It's congested with traffic, and right now it's a mess, and we're going to put a unit up with, I don't know, almost, what, 60, 70 units. Unfortunately, our public transportation is not to the point where people are using it as often as we would like to see, so that means there's going to be that many more cars in that area. I have, you know, grave concerns about that. I have really concerns about preserving our historic, our historic city. I've always said, you know, we need smart development and we need to balance it with historic preservation, and I don't think that this development does that at all. I am very passionate about the South Side, even though I've never lived there, because it reminds me of the hometown that I grew up in. My brother was the president of Bethlehem Steel for almost 40 years, locally as well as international. He worked right beside Bubbles, and they fought hard so that the people in this city could have a living wage, and they could buy a single-family home or a twin home, and they could raise a family here. And right now, we have, like, 85% of the new development is all rental development, and that's not where I want my city to go. I want there to be, you know, we talk about inclusion and belonging, and we need to have, and diversity, and we need that in our housing. We need to have single-family homes and twin homes being built and owner-occupied homes and not just rentals, and that's all I'm seeing. And while I feel that I have to vote in the spirit of the law, and unfortunately I have to vote yes for this, I'm going to fight until my last breath that we do everything we can so we can have a truly inclusive Bethlehem as far as housing goes. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman Cramsey Smith. Any other questions or comments from other members of council? Ms. Wilhelm?
For all the reasons mentioned thus far, I will also begrudgingly be voting in favor of this project. Councilwoman Cramsey Smith, you mentioned location, 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 and if you know where this building is, it is a gateway to the South Side. This building is one of the first things you'll see as you cross the Fahey Bridge, and our buildings send messages, and our residents have relationships with buildings, even if we don't live or work in them. And I was saddened and dismayed to see a design that has degraded through the process. I also want to say that having watched a number of meetings around development, and now, of course, having dug very deeply from this seat into multiple development projects, the process really translates as quite opaque and complex, even adversarial at times, and I don't think this project was any different, and I'm very hopeful that we can work together to create clearer guidelines and better communication around future projects so that all parties know what's expected of them and we can all work together toward a common goal, which is doing the best we can for Bethlehem. And so back to the concept of design, which I think is extremely important and is sometimes perceived as frivolous. I think discussion around any development or redevelopment project includes and should include conversations about affordable housing and traffic, sustainability, height, density, mass, etc. Those conversations have already occurred and we can't change those things. I did wonder also if we had the capacity to change the design of this project when I saw that the setback had disappeared, as well as other sort of character building design elements of this project had disappeared little by little. And I was sort of alarmed by the new design and disappointed. But I think first it's worth mentioning that good design relates to all of those things I mentioned before, all those important conversations, affordable housing, traffic, sustainability, they all are impacted by and embraced by design. There's strong evidence that good design of public spaces offers many potential benefits to its community, including, to name just a few, improved physical and mental health, improved sense of well-being, happiness, belonging, and civic pride, reduced car use, improved air and stormwater quality, improved public safety, and a positive impact on the local economy. So really direct impacts from good design. And urban design, in this case, the design of our buildings, literally shapes a city. How it looks, how people experience it as they live and go through their day-to-day, and it's about people and how they connect to their surroundings. Good, thoughtful, intentional urban design serves every resident of Bethlehem by creating and reinforcing a unique sense of place. Every time we build or reuse, it's an opportunity to contribute to that sense of place. We need to create an expectation from the start that a developer care about what her or his project will contribute to that sense of place, and to help them to do so in making our own goals, expectations, and objectives clear. Supported by growing evidence, quality design is a crucial part of a successful place. It's not a frivolous extra. We can and should improve the process and communication around all development, and that process should include thoughtful design as a given when we discuss building in Bethlehem. It's something that is both tied to other important factors such as affordable housing, traffic, and sustainability, and on its own merits for the way it makes us feel as a vehicle for communicating to the residents of Bethlehem that they are valued, whether they live or work inside that building or just walk by it every day. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wilhelm. Any other comments, Ms. Leon?
So while I was reading through the HCC minutes, one of the things that I've seen a lot was hesitation and mixed emotions. And while I'm definitely not the HCC and I can't speak for them, for me, that I can feel that hesitation in my own vote right now, understanding how I feel about this project and how I'm going to have to vote on this project. Some other things that I wanted to take into consideration while I was digging into this, I stumbled across the HARS guidelines for sustainability. And I had spoken with some members from the HCC that said that they also use these guidelines. So I would just love to encourage the HCC to talk more about these guidelines, especially as we move forward with our CAP. They should be considering environmental issues, social issues, as well as economic issues. So I just want to encourage the HCC to continue their very difficult work.
Thank you, Ms. Little. Ms. Quita?
I just had one comment that I wanted to be clear that I am not opposed to having a growth in rental properties in our city. I welcome all people who want to live here. And many of them don't want to or are not at a stage in their life where they're ready to buy a home. In my own neighborhood, we're going to have many new residents at the Armory apartments. And I welcome them, and I can't wait to see them walking down the hill to go to Music Fest every August with us, carrying their mugs and then watching the fireworks from their beautiful apartment building. So I think that the reason why we can see such a disproportionate number of rental units being built in the last 5 years versus owner-occupied, single-family, or twins is just demand. There's a need for these kinds of properties, and I feel it's not inclusive to not welcome people who rent. I happen to live on a street on the west side that is a combination of owner-occupied and rental, and we are all neighbors, and we are all residents of Bethlehem. So I wanted to say that for the record for myself, to because I didn't want to align myself with certain remarks. So thank you.
Understood. Dr. Ian?
Just one brief comment. I agree with everything that has been said here this evening, but it's very simple for me. I lived half of my life on the south side. And from my understanding, and Ms. Wilhelm said it, it's the people who count. And my understanding is that the people in the neighborhood on the south side don't want this. That's it.
Thank you, Dr. Annis. Ms. Ramsey-Smith.
I just want to respond and clarify my comment to Councilman Hill-Quietek, that what I mean is I'm not saying that I'm against all rentals, or I realize people want to rent, but I think that it's very important to have a balance and to have equity and diversity so that there are resources for all those, and people's resources vary. Some people want to buy a home, some people want to rent. My concern is if we have 85% of the new residential developments are rentals, that's a very, that's an imbalance, very significant imbalance. And my concern is we're going to see more developments coming before us in the near future where people are looking at taking away single-family homes and putting in multi-unit rentals. And that's my concern, because I think to make a community very cohesive and that everyone have a sense of belonging, there is a variety of housing options for all people from all income levels and all needs. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other comments from members of council? Dr. Van Wert?
Just the last thing I wanted to say, just to address President Colon's remarks about the unanimity of the HCC vote. This is a pretty complicated process, and I would not want the public to think that the unanimity of these COA approvals was necessarily a full approval in terms of it. There's real history here, and what happened in a few instances over last year with previous council is that the HCC followed the design guidelines by recommending historically appropriate buildings and turned down COAs for inappropriately sized buildings. And the previous council denied their denial, thus overriding HCC and approving the building. And that took HCC out of the discussion from then on out after City Council approved it. So part of what we're seeing is an HCC that's looking for some guidance from Council about what they will accept, Council will accept, because they don't want the same thing to happen. They don't want to deny a project based on its incompatibility with the historic character of the area and then have Council override it. Now, this council is obviously quite different from the last one, and we'll work this out going forward. I would suggest to our council that we could give HCC some guidelines with accommodation, of course, not just, you know, flat, only this and not that. But I do think that it would help the HCC to get some guidelines from council about what we are looking for. And if there's a way, Mr. President, that we could do this As a council, I think it might be a good idea. But I did want to clarify about the unanimity of the vote that I would not interpret that as tacit approval of the building itself. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Any other comments from members of council? I'll just share a couple, and then I may have a question or two for the administration here. So as we talk about the South New Street project, and this is the block across from the new parking garage there and the new building on South, at 3rd and South New Street. And this is a block I'm familiar with. We had voted on a COA for this last year. I'd shared at that time. So this block, if anyone remembers, is Pat's Newsstand and the You're Welcome In. And my father, for about 2 years, give or take, rented one of the rooms, there were like boarding rooms above, I think it was the newsstand up there. So I spent a lot of time there, you know, visiting with my dad and things like that. So I'm familiar with this block. And while we talk about different things like affordable housing, traffic, things like that, things that are relevant to bigger, broader discussions that we're going to have beyond tonight, as other members of council had alluded to, one of the affordable housing comes up. We heard the mayor talk and Ms. Collins earlier this evening about what the administration's currently doing, trying to look at how to spend our American Rescue Plan dollars that are waiting to be exhausted as we come up with these policies to support affordable housing, whether it's through further ordinances, some of the different programs that Mayor Reynolds had alluded to, and things like that. Also tonight, when we hear Dr. Van Wert alluded to the 150-foot height limit for the zoning. So every parcel here in the city of Bethlehem is zoned in a different zoning district that essentially regulates how that land could be used. And one of the challenges, I won't speak for the HCC, but I'll speak for myself as a council member over the years, is some of the ordinances as it relates to the historical district, whether it be the south side or the north side, are some of the guidelines, which our solicitor to my left had read. And sometimes they're in conflict or lack of compatibility with how the zoning reads. You have a
historical district, we'll just use this block, South New Street, where we're talking about, that's essentially our equivalent of Broad and Main on the north side, right? The South New Street and Third, the heart of our South Side district. We promote it as one of our two downtowns, which is essentially saying this is our commercial core. This is where we want dense foot traffic. This is where we want people to be. And then, but at the same time, we're kind of pulled because we want to say, well, no, we also want to respect our historic history and the surrounding buildings. And that's where, again, I only speak for myself through my council experience, not the HCC, not other members of council. Sometimes there's, I'll just say, conflict. We're trying to align all these different interests. Not that any interest is malicious or one is more virtuous than the other, because everyone's perspective changes depending on what you're looking at. And I don't want to tie the COA to affordable housing. This is one of the rare circumstances, though. I'll turn to the administration, Mr. Reynolds, or anyone from your administration. Isn't this the project that affordable housing had previously come up, that the developer had committed to so many affordable housing units within this development? And I don't want to hold the developer to something that I don't have off the top of my head, but wasn't that a discussion that had been had previously?
He had voluntarily agreed to 10%, I believe is the number.
Understood. And again, that I'm trying to separate that from the certificate of appropriateness because it's not relevant to my vote for this, but it's just another factor in multiple factors when we consider what it is that's going on with any particular project within the scope of the COA. This, as the mayor said, this developer had committed to 10%, which in my experience on council, now we don't vote on every project that comes along, but is fairly rare. I mean, we don't see a ton of it. Not that that's one equals the support of the other, but my point being, there's a lot of things that have merit to discuss, a lot of things in the planning, the development process of each project that come along at different points. And as we move forward as a council, as a new council, and I will, at the end of the meeting, announce our committees, that now we have our council committees formed. The mayor and the administration are always avail themselves to have certain discussions, and there's definitely a lot of room for discussions and insight and engagement of whether it be the HCC, whether it be our planning and zoning department, our community economic development department, the mayor's office, attending some of these other authorities, boards, and commissions, that we're sort of stamping or not stamping their decisions after the fact here tonight. So there's definitely, I agree with, in a different respect, all the comments that were made tonight, but also speak on some of the things that mentioned that while we take all these different things into consideration, sometimes it's not as simply easy to align these different considerations that go into. And when we look at the HCC ordinance, there is, even there's a level of subjectiveness as our solicitor reads them. So while I will be supporting this, as I've mentioned this evening, I invite every member of council in different ways, and we could always have any conversations, whether here on the floor of council, at committee, engaging some of those other authorities, boards, and commissions to further some of the things that were brought up tonight as we move forward. Because this isn't the last COA we're going to be voting on. I don't know when the next one will be coming forward, but it's no secret to anyone paying attention. There is interest in South Bethlehem right now, and that has to do with the demand. People, as it was mentioned, people are looking for these apartments, people are occupying them, and then it's important that we sort some of these questions out in no defined timeline, but there's definitely opportunity to explore some of those conversations. So if there's no other input from members of council, I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsley Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
No.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. The certificate of appropriateness passes 6-1. The clerk will read resolution 10-I.
Certificate of appropriateness under the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 127 East 4th Street to convert the former Holy Infancy School into a mixed-use building with a commercial tenant and a residential units. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Dr. Enix.
Discussion?
You go ahead.
Okay. It's my understanding that this was a very specific COA, but I did want to highlight.
Can you speak louder, please? Thank you.
Okay.
You can turn the microphone.
It's my understanding that this is a very specific COA, but I did want to highlight that. Yes, that the HCC had made note of how the back of the building interacts with the greenway, and I think that might be outside of this COA, but it was good to see it there because I like that they're taking those things into consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Leon. Any other comments from members of council? Dr. Van Wert?
I'll just finish up. It's a great project. That adaptive reuse, it's taking a really great building and making it better. The one thing I was concerned about, and I think it's really a request to the developer and a request to anybody who's building buildings that abut the greenway, is this is a public way, just like it's a street. And it's really important that the buildings that we have there, whether it's new construction or adaptive reuse, reflect that relationship to the greenway. And the comments from the HCC were kind of that the current plan for the exterior door was very utilitarian. There's a brand new beautiful playground right there, so it makes that relationship a little tricky, but that doesn't mean it can't be done well. So I would just put this out as a public plea to this developer and to anyone who's thinking of doing something on the greenway to use that to the benefit. There's great examples in the Brinker Lofts, in Cafe the Lodge, in Bon Place Brewing, and buildings that acknowledge the pedestrian flow along the greenway and use it to their benefit. And so I hope that anybody coming forward to the HCC will take the greenway for what it is, just an absolute gem of Bethlehem that we will all do everything we can to protect. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Any other questions or comments?
Yes, I was preparing for this particular COA, I agree. It occurred to me that buildings that are built or renovated or redeveloped or developed on the greenway no longer have a front and a back. They have two fronts. The greenway is an invitation to every resident of Bethlehem, and it's just really important. I agree, the playground is beautiful, and it does sort of diminish the importance of this particular door and ramp, but I really do want to contribute to compelling those who have or build or develop buildings on the greenway to think of that as another front of the building. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other?
I'll just say that was a very good point, Councilman Wilhelm, that it is two fronts given the greenway, and I agree with you and Dr. Van Wert's comments. And also, I think it could be advantageous for the residents of these buildings if they have it really nice in the front facing the greenway, where it could be, you know, a nice outlying area that the residents can be and go right into the greenway, so that could be a benefit.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other questions or comments, Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Just quickly, adaptive reuse, yay. Yes, I completely agree. I'm very excited about this project. I love the idea that this this space that, you know, has had hundreds and hundreds, thousands of children running through it all those years is not going to have an unhappy fate. So that makes me happy. And we were walking on the greenway this weekend, my husband and I, and just looking at the buildings that are along the greenway, the old buildings, old apartments, old townhomes, the backs of things, and it's great. It's part of the greenway. It is an urban linear park, and so we can have an urban feel to our park while at the same time, you know, still enjoying it as a beautiful place to recreate. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kwiatek. Any other comments from members of council?
I just wanted to add for public knowledge that this is the same developer as the complicated project we just discussed, and just to indicate that the same developer can make a different choice and do better and better. I just thought you might appreciate knowing that aspect of this discussion. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Wilhelm. Just a couple quick comments. So going back to the greenway, and I agree with Dr. Van Wert and Ms. Kwiatek, we're very fortunate here in the city and the foresight that was had many years ago to create that linear park that runs through the south side. I don't know if anyone has ever been to the High Line
in New York City, where it's pretty much our Hoover Mason trestle, but through the heart of Lower Manhattan. And that is a very unique experience, as is the Greenway. And that's a good example, and I'm sure there's plenty other, I'm just not well-versed in all of them, where we can kind of develop around what currently exists, because the Greenway is definitely an attraction. We've all pretty much have been to different community events at the Greenway over the years, and we definitely don't want to lose that as an asset, because whether it's students jogging, whether it's school kids playing on that playground that Dr. Van Wert alluded to, or any of us going out for the numerous events that go on, we don't want to encroach or alienate the Greenway in because of any of these projects. But also, as we talk about this project specifically, Holy Infancy, this is a great way to maintain that building for what it was, as so many families have known it over the years, that it served who knows how many students and families, especially of South Bethlehem. Unfortunately, the need was no longer there in enrollment, is my understanding, to maintain it in its current use or previous use. But as another member of council said, this is a great example of that adaptive reuse to maintain it as we've all known it. If there's no other comments from members of council, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to new business, so I want to announce our committee assignments and liaison. So I'm going to read through our committee assignments here quickly. Starting with our Community Development Committee, that's going to be chaired by Dr. Van Wert, and the other members will be Councilwoman Cramsey Smith and Councilwoman Wilhelm. Our Finance Committee is going to be chaired by Dr. Enix, and it'll have the other members as Councilwoman Cramsey Smith and Dr. Van Wert. Our Human Resources and Environment Committee will be chaired by Councilwoman Wilhelm, and then the other members will be Councilwoman Leon and Dr. Van Wert. Our Parks and Recreation Committee is going to be chaired by Councilwoman Kwiatek, and the other two members will be Ms. Leon and Ms. Wilhelm. Our Public Safety Committee will be chaired by Councilwoman Leon, along with the other members are Councilwoman Dr. Enix and Ms. Kwiatek. And then our last committee is the Public Works Committee, and that will be chaired by Councilwoman Cramsey Smith, and the other members will be Dr. Enix and Ms. Kwiatek. City Council also has a couple liaisons that are assigned to be our liaison with different city bodies. Our liaison for the Bethlehem Authority will be Dr. Enix. Our liaison for the Bethlehem Housing Authority will be Councilwoman Kwiatek. Our liaison for the Environmental Advisory Council will be Councilwoman Wilhelm. Our liaison for the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, Councilwoman Cramsey Smith. For the Library Board, it'll be Ms. Leon. For the Parking Authority, it'll be Dr. Van Wert. And then for the Redevelopment Authority and Blighted Property Review Committee, it'll be Councilwoman Kwiatek. So those are going to be our committee and liaison assignments for the next couple years. Just last council business I want to bring up briefly in new business. Masks, I sent out a memo to everyone earlier. I know the mayor and the director of human resources had sent out a memo yesterday just advising that City Hall will no longer make mask wearing mandatory for city employees or members of the public coming in to do city business. And I decided same will apply here in Town Hall for city council meetings. However, us as council members have encouraged individuals to wear masks. We obviously still are, as we sit up here elbow to elbow, and some of us, because of our day jobs, are a little more exposed to cases of COVID and such. So members of council for the time being likely will, but again, it's strictly optional here in Town Hall as we gather these Tuesdays in the future. Any other new business from members of council? Councilwoman Cramsey Smith.
Thank you, President Colon. I just want to thank, I had submitted questions regarding housing and development to the Department of Community Economic Development. I want to thank them and all of this administration for the quick response.
In the interest of time, I don't want to go through all the responses, but what I'd like to do, and I think it's timely that now that we have the committees in place, that I'd like to make a motion that we have a meeting of the Community and Economic Development Committee, and that we can go over the responses, perhaps invite DHCC so we can get input from them, because we've had a lot of discussion with both COA and the HCC, as well as have public input regarding, you know, housing and development. So I'd like to make a motion that we do have that committee meeting, and we can use that time to review those responses.
Does that require a second?
So, I mean, I'll turn to our solicitor briefly on the motion on the floor, but I guess my early thoughts are we don't necessarily need a motion on the floor of council to schedule a meeting. It's something that the chair could, through the clerk's office, engage the other members and the administration about setting dates that we want to review some of these processes, and that we don't necessarily need to an official action here on the floor of council, but I'll defer to our solicitor.
I would agree with that. I don't think a motion is needed for these. It's more up to the chairperson individually to start making the arrangements for those individual meetings, but I appreciate the effort of completeness, absolutely.
And we can do that. Thank you.
Mayor Reynolds?
Yeah, just a couple things. One is we certainly, as said in the memo, are open to a committee meeting at any time. I mean, essentially every day at this point in City Hall, we're having an internal committee meeting about these issues. So absolutely. And I just want to make a couple of comments that I know Ms. Collins had sent over today, the housing needs assessment that Ms. Carner and Ms. Heller and the department had done in 2019. And I really encourage City Council to, and everybody, which is, I believe it's available on our website, if not, we can make sure that it is, to take a look at that, because it helps to draw the conversation to just how much of a regional issue this really is. And just to give you some numbers that are in there, that since 2000, we have added 6% in our residents. So our population has increased 6%. The number of housing units have increased by 5%. So you're thinking, okay, we're about staying there. But the number of jobs in the city of Bethlehem has increased by 30%. Like 30%. So those people in the city that we've been building for the past two decades live, work, and play, want to live in the city of Bethlehem. And there is a supply issue. And when you take a look regionally, and Ms. Collins and myself had a chance to sit down and talk to Mr. Cunningham with LVDC and others today, and when you talk about what's going on in the Lehigh Valley, if we really want to take a look at things like supply of housing, it's not just the city of Bethlehem, but what's going on in our suburbs. It's what's going on in our townships. The Lehigh Valley is a place that people want to live. And a lot of these things are market-driven. And when you take a look at the city of Bethlehem, there's never been a time that it's been more popular that people want to live here. And I had to laugh before that, you know, when we're talking about everything Bethlehem Steel did, I know one thing Bethlehem Steel did not do was build a greenway. Because the city of Bethlehem did that. And there's a couple people here, Ms. Heller, who spent years and years doing the different phases, working through, and Mr. Spurk, who I think once upon a time climbed to like the 52nd floor in Philadelphia to meet with Norfolk Southern, and Mr. Alcohol, who worked on that. And for years, and there was the vision was, how do we create the Greenway? And it was like, oh, it was an idea. And then it took years to implement, and now it's something that people want to be around. People like to travel along with it. We forget all those conversations that were had for all of those years. And now it's one of those competitive advantages the city of Bethlehem has. And it is a distinct thing that has made property in and around the south side very, very lucrative to live towards. Same thing with steel stacks. The same things that we take pride in. And when you take a look at that 30% increase in jobs, like we could say, well, that's a lot of adding jobs. But those jobs saved the city of Bethlehem after the closing of Bethlehem Steel. The city of Bethlehem did not have to make decisions that other cities had to make. Easton, Allentown have special earned income tax dispensations that allow them to go above 1% because of their economic picture. The city of Allentown had to sell their water authority, all of like the pre-bankruptcy things that the city of Bethlehem never had to do because we were able to add those jobs. And yet, at the same time, it obviously is creating this period of change in the city of Bethlehem. And we wake up, and I know everybody up there very well, and the people here wake up every day with the same priorities, whether or not it be Ms. Collins or Ms. Heller or Ms. Carner or Mr. Spurk or Mr. Alcohol. And these are the goals that we try to take a look at. And, you know, one of the things that we look at as well, as we've talked about, is like, what are the things that we can control? I would say one thing in there as well is in 2010, our home ownership was at 50.4%, and now in 2020, it's at 50.7%. It has actually only increased the amount of people that are owning. Part of the reason why you don't have more single-family home development is the areas where people are adding density of housing is in and around your downtowns, where you don't really want single-family homes. And that's also not what the market is. And one thing I learned in this job, like I learned there, is how much of this really is driven by the market. How much of it is driven by the market, how much of it is driven by private property rights, by zoning and things like that. But a lot of the things that came up here today, whether or not it's affordable housing or transportation or climate action plan or how do we necessarily get the type of buildings we want, those are all things that we spend every day, all day thinking about. And also thinking about what point in that process we're able to necessarily influence that. Whether or not it's in front of the Planning Commission, whether or not it has to do with, you know, the getting of permits and things like that. We have those same goals. We have those same priorities. You know, one of the things that came up before, too, was the new street as far as streetscape. I turned around to Mr. Alcohol. Like, we're looking at somewhere in, like, the $1.6, $1.7, $1.8 million in streetscape improvements that are coming to that corridor of New Street. That is going to increase the walkability. That is going to increase the on-street kind of feel and quality of life there. So I know that we tend to think about things as far as, you know, I grew up in this neighborhood, and so on and so forth. As a whole, we need to be rooting for more housing to be built outside of the city of Bethlehem because it is going to help to decrease the housing supply pressure in the city of Bethlehem, if that's in townships, wherever it might be. And when you talk to Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, they say the same thing, is that we need more. There's a higher demand to live in the city of Bethlehem than there ever has been before. And it's a regional issue. And partly it's driven by the pandemic and telework and all so on and so forth. But if we don't add more housing supply, the affordable housing crisis is only going to get worse. It is a simple supply and demand type of idea. So whether or not we're adding those units in the city of Bethlehem or adding them outside, whether or not it's Easton, Allentown, out in your townships, out in areas where people don't really want houses right now, like we can like that, we can dislike that, whatever it might be. But there's a lot of things that we need to root for that need to happen outside of the city of Bethlehem. That because when people move to Lehigh Valley and they work at Air Products or Lutron or Lehigh or whatever, they're looking for a place to live. And they want to live close to where they are. So when we take a look at what the decisions are, what we're pushing people for, what legally we're allowed to do, if I hear the word, like, this isn't in our purview, Mr. Reynolds, like one more time in City Hall, like, I'm going to get frustrated. I'm going to get beyond frustrated. But there's a lot of stuff we can do, and there's a lot of stuff we can't do. You know, we're here ready to work with City Council. And as I said, I think that housing needs assessment does a great job of kind of pointing out where the city of Bethlehem was, how we got here, and where necessarily we're going. And, you know, we certainly are ready for as many committee meetings to have further conversations about this particular issue. So thank you, Mr. McCullough.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Any other comments during new business from members of council? Ms. Leon?
I know we retired two officers, but I also wanted to welcome Officer Rosado and Officer Martin to the force, and I wanted to congratulate our emergency services on their successful hazmat training.
Thank you. Ms. Wallen?
As we determine what to do with the American Rescue Plan funds, I just wanted to thank the administration for so energetically seeking public opinion by meeting people where they are and by putting together this opportunity online. I really appreciate that you're making such an effort to hear from the residents of the city on that matter. Thank you.
Seeing no other comments from members of council, tonight's meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.